Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's passage, on the face of it, is about possessions and about getting rid of them. A man seeks Jesus out and runs after him. And by the way, running was not something that dignified people did in those days. So this man, a dignified man, clearly feels some urgency. And so he is hurrying, he is running. And he hustles up to Jesus and says, "How do I get eternal life?" And that is an important question. It is on many people's minds. And this question recognizes that a Christian life is about more than just saying, "I believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior." And then going back to the status quo. Over the past weeks, we have been saying this several times, that Christian life is about our actions as well as our thoughts and proclamations. But a Christian life isn't even a question about just doing the right thing. This rich man has obeyed all the commandments. He's been doing all the right things. And yet he feels something is missing. There's something he hasn't done, and he can't quite put his finger on it. So he asks a good question. What's next? How do I move from doing the right things to being a disciple? And Jesus looks at him hard. Jesus loves him and probably wants this guy to be his disciple. But he also sees his one flaw. And so he tells him the truth and gives him the hard answer. Here is what you lack. Here is the obstacle you face. This is what's getting in your way. You have got so much stuff, it's weighing you down. You've got to get rid of it. You have got to think more of God than of your stuff. And the rich man goes away. He is grieving, and apparently he can't do it. It is hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says. It's hard to give up all that stuff. It has a powerful hold on the rich man, and I'm guessing on you and me as well. Mammon is a powerful idol, and many of us bow down to it. The disciples are shocked because in their society, the wealthy were viewed as being blessed by God. What was wrong with being wealthy? And so they think, well, if the wealthy are going to have a hard time going into God's kingdom, what about the rest of us? My gosh, we're going to have an even harder time. How can we be saved? And Jesus reminds them, well, salvation is up to God. It's always by God's grace. Only God makes discipleship possible. Only God gives us the means to follow Jesus. So the questions for us are, how do each of us follow Jesus? And what are the obstacles we face? What's in our way? Well, this is stewardship season, and maybe you are expecting me to say, well, everything that the rich man was told by Jesus, it all applies to you. Go sell your possessions and give it to your church. That would be something that you might expect me to say in the stewardship season, but that doesn't quite sound right to me. I know that not all here are wealthy and that money is tight for some of you. Some of you may be wondering about job security. You may be looking for work. And others may be wondering if Social Security is going to continue to support you. So what Jesus says to the rich man may not quite apply to you in that way. There may be something else getting in your way. You may have a different weak spot than money or possessions. And yet, Jesus has put his finger on the fact that this is the rich man's weakness. It's the one thing he wants to hang on to. He's been obeying all the commandments, but he is still wealthy. His wealth has come to define him. His pile of possessions has made him who he is. How can he give that up? This is the obstacle to the rich man truly becoming a disciple. He may have followed all of those commandments without a fault, But he cannot follow Jesus because he loves something more than he loves God. So what do you cling to? The rich man clung to his possessions and they got in his way. What are you clinging to? What is getting in the way of your following Jesus at this time? What would Jesus say to you if you ran up to him and said, I think I've done everything, but it feels like there's something missing, Jesus. Am I in fact on the path to God's kingdom? Jesus, is there something more that you want of me? What would Jesus say to you? Would he say, yeah, there is still an obstacle. You are clinging to your pride. You're clinging to your desire to be in control. Or perhaps this time of year, Jesus might say you're clinging to your political convictions. Would Jesus say to you, give that one thing up and follow me? What would be the hardest thing to let go of? What would it be? So how does this story work out? Does the rich man ever sell his possessions and follow Jesus? We're told that he goes away, that he's grieving. I think we tend to assume, yep, he's gone for good. He can't do it. But, you know, I always think about this every time I preach on this text, that he would have to go away if he was going to sell everything. And maybe he comes back later, ready to follow. I mean, after all, when he had come up to Jesus, he ran up to him and he kneeled down right in front of him. And Jesus said to him, get up. And whenever Jesus has healed somebody, those are the words that he says, get up. And maybe Jesus has healed the man of his addiction to possessions. Maybe Jesus has taken away the very obstacle that lies between him and following. And can't Jesus heal us too of whatever lies between us and following him? It's a hard passage, no matter how you look at it. It's hard. It does ask things of us, whether it's giving away our possessions and our money or something more intangible. We don't always want to hear that. It is hard to enter the kingdom of God. And that's why God always keeps reaching out to us, giving us grace along the way, giving us grace through Jesus Christ, who died and rose again to reconcile us with God, to heal us from sin and alienation, to bind us together in one body with each other. In all parts of our lives, Jesus is calling us to follow him and trying to heal us, to change us from people who are committed to the world's ways of doing things to people who are following a Christian way of life. There is something countercultural about a Christian way of life. Where others see scarcity, Christians see enough to feed 5,000 people. Where others see loss, we respond with thanksgiving. Where others try to be in control, we confess Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives. Where others lift up the primacy of the individual, we commit to the community of the church. And where others see differences as something to be feared, Christians see the unity that lies in diversity. A Christian life is not easy. It can be hard work, and that can be very satisfying in itself. A few weeks ago, Tiger Woods won his 80th PGA Championship after a drought of several years, and he'd had back surgery, and a lot of people thought he was never going to be able to play at the top level, or maybe never even going to be able to play at all. And yet, that weekend, Tiger Woods did win. And as he was being interviewed afterwards, he said some amazing words to me. He said, "It was a grind out there. I loved every minute of it." It was a grind out there. It was hard work. It required discipline and focus. It was not easy. And Tiger Woods loved every minute of that. And friends, that kind of hard work, that is what is on offer for us and for the rich man. Get rid of what is keeping you back. Get rid of what's holding you down, what's keeping you from following Jesus. It may be a grind out there. It may be hard to do this, but you will become part of God's kingdom of love. And for mortals, this will be hard. It may even be impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.